Welcome to part 2 of this podcast on exam technique. So how do you express your answer on the paper? Once you read the required and identified exactly what you need to do, start with the formats that are required in the question. For example, it is required to prepare the statement of profit or loss and other comprehensive income. Write down each line item like revenue, cost of sales, other expenses, other income. Leave a line open for share of profit from associate, profit before tax, taxation, etc. And leave some lines open for other comprehensive income. Also remember to always split the total profits and total comprehensive income between the parent's portion and that of the non-controlling interests, as there are marks rewarded for only showing that you understand that a portion should be allocated to the non-controlling interests. Or perhaps it is required to prepare a statement of financial position. Then write down each line item such as non-current assets, property, plant and equipment, goodwill, leave a line for investment in associate, current assets such as inventory, cash and bank, etc. Do the same for statement of changes in equity and statement of cash flows. Do remember, we will never ask you in the required section to do an analysis. An analysis is purely a method or form of calculation to help you structure the information and determine the non-controlling interests and carrying amounts of associates. Once you have written down the format that is required, you can start to read through the information provided in the question. As you read through the question, make notes and if you want, draw a timeline somewhere so that you can see exactly when what happened. Put in the acquisition date, year-end date, and any transaction date that will affect the consolidation. Once you have read through the question and know what it is about, start to write in the easy marks in the formats that you have already prepared. It will be like building a puzzle with the frame already in place. Also remember to put in the easy marks that are given in the additional information. For example, impairment of goodwill. Transfer this figure as a negative to goodwill in the statement of financial position and also to other expenses in a statement of profit and loss and other comprehensive income. Now start by writing in the figures relating to all the line items of the parent. As you know, those won't change, except for the intergroup transactions that will be shown separately. Write down the parent's property, plant and equipment, the inventory, the debtors and cash balances, the creditors, etc. in a statement of financial position. Do the same for statement of profit or loss and other comprehensive income. Put in the parent's revenue, cost of sales, all the line items and the same for statement of changes in equity, like opening share capital and dividends paid by the parent. If you know that there was a subsidiary at year end or somewhere during the year, you can do the same for each line item of the subsidiary. You can later in your answer allocate the months out of 12 if it was only a subsidiary for part of the year. The subsidiary will only be included in a statement of financial position if it was a subsidiary at year end. I think you would agree that at this stage of the question, you haven't done any calculation or analysis. But rather than panicking, you should realize that by doing this, you have already earned 10 to 20% of your marks, and you still have a lot of time left and a lot of marks to obtain. Now you can start digging into the question, based on the knowledge and understanding that you have gained when you read through the information in the question. Depending on which method you use, you can now start with the analysis or journals. Remember to leave enough space on your format for any intergroup transactions that you might have to adjust for. Only the intergroup transactions where the subsidiary or associates make the profits on the sale will be included in the analysis. The non-controlling interests have to share in those adjustments of the subsidiaries. If the parent was a selling party, all the intragroup transactions will only be reflected on the face of the format or other calculations and not in the analysis. Always try to allocate and transfer answers to the framework as you go. For example, if you work with the sense period on the analysis, the answers there will be transferred to the opening retained earnings and opening non-controlling interests in the statement of changes in equity. The important thing about this technique is you earn marks as you go along. And you do not try only at the end of your time, draw the format and only then start transferring the answers. If you do this, you are almost guaranteed to make mistakes and forget to transfer or reference your answers, or more importantly, forget to write in all the easy marks that we spoke of earlier. If you deal with an associate in the question, always remember that an associate will be disclosed in two line items only: share of profit from associate and investment in associate. With regards to the intergroup profit, try to follow the transaction from the selling party's view. That should make it much easier to see who made the profits and where and how the intergroup transaction should be adjusted for. The aim of this podcast is not to give an overview of the module or its content, but rather to help you to best apply your knowledge on the actual exam paper where it counts. As we all know, time is valuable, and especially for you as UNISA student. Most of you are studying part-time with work and family commitments. So if you are busy using your precious time to study and work on this module, why not do it as effective as possible and hopefully only once or for the last time? The bottom line and my closing statement is the following. Each of you are more than capable of passing this module, even if you have struggled with it for a while now. If that is the case, do some introspection of what you might be doing wrong, and perhaps some of the principles that I shared with you might just be what you need to get over that final hurdle. It is also true that if you have more than sufficient knowledge to pass, but you have very poor exam technique, that you might find it very difficult to pass this module. That is just to once more emphasize the importance of good exam technique. To conclude, prepare well. Give yourself reasonable, achievable goals before and during the exam. Build your answer around a good format and framework. Obtain all the easy marks. Transfer your calculations to the required format. Reference all your calculations. Strictly keep to your time. And the results should speak for itself. All the best with your preparation for the exam and the exam itself. And may all of you be successful with this module.